Joining us now, he's our favorite rules guy. He's a Yankees fan, so we'll let him go on that. Dan Maselli joins us. Dan, what's going on?
Not too much, guys. How you doing? Great to be back on with you.
Yeah, just another boring round of golf where no decisions for the rules of golf have to be made, and you know, a great finish to the A&A Inspiration.
Yeah, pretty quiet week all in all.
Well, you know, you're fresh off of this, and we saw you on TV. We love seeing that, and Kathy and Sue, and you know, before we even dip into the controversy, you guys did a great job with what is, you know, a very tough situation. I mean, I sort of equate it to the guy who looked under the hood at the Raiders, you know, Patriots game in the snow, and he said, "We have a tuck rule." Okay, I'm going to go tell those people we have a tuck rule. And that was sort of the position you guys were put in this weekend when, you know, the email came in saying that they'd seen a violation of the rules by Lexi Thompson on the 17th hole the previous day, and you were really put in a tough spot. So take us through a little bit about how that happened, the mechanics of it, how high up in the – I mean, how did this happen, Dan? Help us out.
Well, first of all, I mean – any official, no matter what sport you're in, they always want the competition to be decided by the players. No one ever wants to inject their part in an officiating mode to have an effect on the game. And when you are thrust into that position, it's very, very difficult. You have to apply the rules correctly, and you have to understand that you're dealing with the emotions that a competitor is going to be going through. So it's a very difficult situation for anyone who's put in that situation. And we really felt for Lexi. And if I can just trail off here for a second, Lexi showed what kind of a person she is, her class, her courage, her competitive spirit, the way she gathered herself and got into the playoff and everything. So my hat goes off to Lexi for that. But as far as how it all unfolded, through LPGA.com, an email was received that somebody had thought they had seen a breach of the rule on Saturday for Lexi's 17th hole. And that email came in to me, and the last group was probably on the seventh or eighth hole at the time. We had an official in the TV truck, so I immediately contacted that person, and they had to do some research. They had to find the footage from the day before. So as they scrambled to find some footage, right about the ninth hole, we were informed, both Sue Witters and myself, that there might be something to look at. So as that group was turning and Sue was with them, she decided to go to the TV truck and view the footage. After she did, she contacted me and asked me to come down and look at it, which I did. All of us saw the same thing. It's not much. It's a very small amount of distance between where her ball was when she lifted it and where she put it back down. But the rules of golf don't stipulate how much distance a wrong place is. If you play from any place than what you're supposed to play from, unfortunately, that's a breach of the rule. Now, in this case, it's not a serious breach, obviously. So it's just a two-stroke penalty. The good news for Lexi was that in 2016, they changed the rule that, and they added into 6-6D, that if a player is unaware that they've violated a rule or breached a rule, they can get just the penalty for the rule, but to add an additional two strokes for the incorrect scorecard. Normally, that would have been a disqualification. So Lexi was allowed to continue playing and compete, and the really hard part was for Sue. She had the most difficult time, and that was informing Lexi between the 12th and 13th holes.
At what point is there the oh no moment when you get the email or after you've seen the footage for the first time? I mean, you know, realizing what you have to do, what the impact of what you're going to have to do by the letter of the law is. I mean, when's the realization hit that how huge this particular ruling is?
Well, with all viewership calls or emails or things of that nature, even spectators from the rope line, there's always a presumption of innocence on the player's part, and that's how you go into it. You figure that the player, the spectator, the call-in person, the marshal, just don't understand all the rules or understand professional golf enough to have the capacity to make that a proper call. So it's not until you see the footage that you actually go, okay, we have something here that we have to address. So until you see the footage, you really don't give it a lot of credence, because the presumption of innocence is always goes with the player, because the vast majority of times they are without merit.
Well, we're talking to Dan Maselli, our favorite rules official from the LPGA Tour, about what went on with Lexi Thompson at the ANA Inspiration. And I'm curious, when the email comes in and there is the presumption of innocence, at what point did you know this was going to be a huge deal? And I mean, you're not a robot. Did you ever consider just pressing delete? Seriously, we're not robots, but it's hard. You guys were put in a really difficult position with a lot of people watching.
What are you talking about? Sunday afternoon on a major and the last group with a person with a two-shot lead? That's a difficult situation?
Yeah, I think so. I might have pressed delete. And I'm a high-character guy. I might have pressed delete.
Unfortunately, if you're a rules official in golf, whether it's at a professional level, local level, state association, it doesn't matter. When you are informed of a possible breach, you have to look into it. That's your obligation. And you do. And until you have something to prove or deny the allegation, you go ahead and investigate it. Just a week before at Kia, I had a spectator who told me that a player may have dropped the ball from a drain, an immovable obstruction on the golf course, not on her nearest point of release. Well, I had to. I'm just sitting there in the rough, just minding my own business, watching golf, and she just comes up and tells me what she saw. I said, okay. So I met that particular player in the scoring tent and asked her some questions. There was no footage to go view, so because she wasn't on television. So I just had to ask her some questions. It proved to be nothing. The person just didn't understand how she was taking relief. She took proper relief. But so you look at them and you hope that nothing happens. But in this situation, no, you can't press delete. You have to. And not only because you really don't want to get involved in the competition at that point, but you owe it to the field to also make sure that everyone who's playing golf is playing under the same rules. And if anybody had a breach during the four rounds of golf, that they have to have that penalty assessed in that case. So you owe it to the field, not only to the to your job, but you also owe it to the field.
Yeah, I mean, and I hope all of our listeners understand that the best officials, which you guys are, you wouldn't be where you are. You know, you want to go unnoticed. It's like being a left tackle in football. You only get noticed when you hold or when you make a mistake. I mean, the best officials, and I like to look at boxing referees, the best ones are almost never on TV. You almost never see them. The mechanics of it are such that they don't want to be part of the show. So this isn't something that you guys enjoy by any stretch of the imagination. Absolutely. I mean, you enjoy being on our show, but not for this reason.
Exactly right. No, that's exactly true. We would rather just be off to the side answering the myriad of questions you get from spectators and such as you go about your daily job. But no, we would really just like to sit there, let the competitors play golf, and let them decide the outcome of every competition.
All right, so let me ask the tough question. What happens if that person that sent the email didn't watch Saturday's round until today and sends the email today? I mean, statute of limitations. I mean, what do we talk about from a statute of limitations standpoint? I mean, how far back can you go? Is there any precedence for that?
Yeah. Oh, no. The rules of golf are clear. The statute of limitations in this case is when the competition's closed. Once the competition's closed, and for us, that's an electronic procedure on our part. Once we do a function on our computer, which closes that tournament, and the money is awarded to all the players, it has nothing to do with the award ceremony or anything like that. This is an internal function that happens in our office. Once we've checked all the scorecards and everything, we do an electronic procedure, and that closes the competition, and that's it. No more going back and assessing penalties for anything someone has seen or anything viewed prior to that that moment. However, the only thing that you can go back on is if there's some sort of a breach that would be cheating. In other words, they knew they committed a breach and they just omitted it, but they knew it. That's the only thing, 'cause that's cheating. And of course, at our level, that just doesn't happen. So any time before the competition's closed, a breach can be reviewed and a penalty can be assessed. But so if it happened today, we'd have a different outcome, I'm sure.
All right, so here's my other question. To eliminate something like this happening, is it possible for PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, whatever tour, to implement their own quote-unquote local rule that says at the close of the day, you know, the competition is set so that something like this can't happen again? I mean, is it possible to set up, you know, local rules or competition rules? Is there leeway in the rules of golf to be able to allow something like that to eliminate, you know, something happening where, you know, here you are, Lexi Thompson, theoretically shouldn't have been in the last group. She should have been in like the third to last group because she should have had four more shots added to the day before. So it kind of would have changed the entire competition starting out Sunday morning as opposed to Sunday afternoon changing it.
No, yeah. To my understanding, these are all guidelines. Every local rule has to be approved by the governing bodies of golf, the USGA and the RNA. So you just can't make up your own local rules as a tour or as a golf association. Not if you're going to tell anybody that you play by the rules under how they're set forth by those two governing bodies. So we are. Conditions of competition are governed by the USGA. So we can only use local rules that they approve. And those are all listed in the Rules of Golf book. And just to help people with this, and I know a lot of people get their hair on fire when people call in and this kind of stuff, and they get upset that people are officiating from their couches or armchair referees and that kind of thing. But let's be clear. A caddy, a spectator, a marshal, a guy with a TV camera, anybody who's on that golf course, if they see a breach or what they think is a breach, they can speak their mind and contact rules official and let us know what's happening. We get caddies that come to us constantly with a possible breach during a round, and they'll ask us to meet them in the scoring tent. Now, he's just an observer, just like everybody else, even though he's caddying for another player or something. He's just another observer. He's an outside agency to that player, as any of the spectators would be. So is it any different from a person who's watching television, who's viewing that perspective, from that perspective? They're still watching the competition, and golf is a game of integrity, and it's not like driving down the highway. This probably never happens to either one of you, but if you're driving down the highway and you're slightly faster than the posted speed limit, and there's no one there to pull you over and give you a ticket, then you have gotten away with breaking the law. That's not what happens in golf. Golf is a game of a breach is a breach, no matter who sees it, no matter when it happens, and no matter who it happens to. So it's a little bit of a different kind of a sport. It's not like holding in football that a referee doesn't see. So, you know, I don't people get upset at that, and I don't encourage it, but they should just relax, because even the TV cameras or the announcers that are watching golf and telling the stories to the viewers, they could see a breach too. So, and on that note, a lot of the professionals go to the line or the perspective that it's unfair because a person in the first group on Sunday doesn't have anywhere near the eyes and cameras on them. But the person who's in the last group does, but also their paycheck is going to be quite a bit larger. So with that larger paycheck does come more scrutiny.
Well, Dan, as always, man, we appreciate you coming on with us. And, you know, I hope the next time we get to talk to you, it's more about, you know, just general stuff as opposed to something going terribly wrong with a player. So that can be our hope.
Well, I hope the same thing. It's unfortunate what happened. But we shouldn't take away from what So-Yeon Ryu did on Sunday. She played a great round of golf, and she's also a very worthy champion. So let's not forget about her competitive results as well.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Dan.
No problem. Thanks, guys.